Welcome to Friends Along the Way, a podcast exploring the faith journey of my friends and I. This is your host, Jesse Walker. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Friends Along the Way. Today's episode is Folding Laundry with Jesse. So right now, I'm hoping this doesn't all pick up in the mic, but I am pressed for time because I'm packing to go home. So I'm just getting all my stuff together and ready to go back home. Which I'm excited for. So by the time you hear this, I will be on a flight headed towards Toronto. So, which is good and scary at the same time, because it's not going home that scares me. It's the coming home that scares me, because as you know, I haven't always had the best of luck. But there shouldn't be any issues with this, but you never know what kind of stunt they're going to play. So if you hear this, just be praying for me, because, yeah, I still got to go through a bunch of this stuff for returning home. So, but yeah, this week has been crazy. As you know from my last podcast, I've just been waiting to get to this week because, it's just been crazy busy. Just with the candlelight service that I did and I was in charge of, which also went really awesome. That went really, really good. Better than I actually thought it would. Not so much the planning of the service itself, but just there was a lot that went into it. I needed a lot of volunteers, and I got them, so that was awesome. And then I needed people to help with our bouncy castle and all that, so I got all the volunteers that I wanted, but then I had this monologue. So I'm running the thing, I'm planning a monologue, and then also that this past Sunday I was preaching. So I had all this stuff that I was doing and working on at the same time as planning a message, and then, you know, still dealing with crisis stuff at church with, some people that lost their loved ones and all that. So dealing with that. So it's just been a crazy week. So I was so thankful that it finally has come to this point where, you know, I'm done work. So I'm off now for 2 weeks, which has not happened yet. I've been going, you know, even when I went away, you know, even when I go to Maui, I was still working. It's like I was in a beautiful place, a destination thing, but it wasn't like I was going surfing every morning and experiencing all the cool places there. Like, there was a lot of stuff I was still doing. It was not a vacation. Some people might think that it was, but they're wrong. It wasn't a vacation. So yeah, so it's been busy. So finally I get to have some time, which is amazing. I'm excited to go see my family. There's a niece that I still have not yet met, so I'm excited to meet her. So just overall, this trip is going to be really great for me. I think in some ways that I haven't really even tapped into yet. You know, just being with family is a big thing. So I'm pumped for that. But yeah, let's get back to this week. So this week we had a bunch of basketball games. That also was a thing. I went to my homeopath and they assessed me, and the verdict was that I have fertilizer toxins in my body, as well as a bunch of other things. But fertilizer was a big one that we were working on, that I never even really thought about. And then we started looking into it in all the ways that I have actually been in contact with fertilizer over the years, you know, being like actually working on a farm, working for a, a landscaping company where we would fertilize, and use fertilizer for stuff and be involved in it and driving tractors on it. So there was a lot of stuff like that that I was in contact with that I never really gave any thought to, you know. And now I'm looking at certain things in my body and they come up with this, and it's just kind of like, whoa, I had no idea. So that was kind of cool, because this lady does this test on me. She's like, yeah, you got fertilizer. She's like, we actually have to like do a detox of it. So she starts doing this stuff, and then I actually go through like a detox phase. Like literally I start detoxing like an hour later, which is pretty wild. I got a wicked headache. It felt like, you know, I had a hangover for 2 days, 3 days as my body was detoxing this stuff. So it's pretty crazy what your body can actually go through and hold on to. And then once you start detoxing it, your body, it's so weird. It's like your body should be thanking you, but instead you go through this, like this detoxing phase, and it sucks. Because you're just in pain and don't feel great. So yeah, it was kind of a interesting thing, but we made it through it. Yeah, right now I'm just packing my clothes, counting all my shirts. I think that's enough shirts. Seems like I have a lot of shirts. So, yeah, I go through this, and it was really good and eye opening and helpful. So that was really nice. Then we had basketball games. So our we called it Light the Night. And my pastor thought it was the most genius idea. He's like, Light the Night, that's amazing. I'm like, yeah, thanks. And then I told him later, I was like, I actually stole that from my dad's church, where we would actually use that for like Halloween. We'd call our Halloween nights Light the Night, because you're being a light in the night. And they're like, yeah, but this is cool. It's like Light the Night. We're being a light in the night. I was like, I know. I guess it works for both. So, yeah, so I had to actually say, you know what? This was not my idea, but it's a good idea. So we used that name. I printed up flyers and set the date, and then we went on with our business of creating Light the Night, which was a pretty successful night. We had all these Christmas lights hung up, and we'd gotten this like this fireplace for the place, and just a gas propane fireplace that we could use, and that was sick. People absolutely loved it. They hung around it. They it became a really cool feature that we had that we didn't really think was going to be that big of a thing. But it turned out to be a pretty cool little feature. Then we had our youth kids, not my youth kids, sorry. We had our ministry kids. They were doing a little skit, and that is like total kid thing where they go up and everybody forgets their lines and all that. That was classic. Like, that's what you want to see. That's what people are like, yeah, we got to see this. It's going to be awesome. And the kids like mess up the lines, or they forget, or they get scared. And that is a fun part of that whole thing. So I enjoy when the kids get up and they go to do stuff like that, and get all scared and don't know what to do or forget their lines. It's just classic, because they're also dressed up as like sheep or something like that. So it's just hilarious. So we do that. Then I do my monologue, and I had also gotten this idea from my dad. And so I go through my monologue, and I actually did a really good job on it. People really loved it. I'd never done one before. And so you get kind of skeptical and worried and be like, are people going to actually enjoy this or not? And they did. So that was a really big thing for me, being like, you know what? I can actually be a little bit more creative than I thought or that I planned. So that went good. And then Sunday, we had our service. So I was asked to speak on more of God's presence. And so I mentioned that in my last podcast about having more of God's presence. And so I began this journey, and this is kind of really what I wanted to talk about, is we have this idea of more presence of God. What does that look like to have more of his presence? So we begin on this journey of more presence. I start thinking and be like, well, 18-year-old me would have said that more presence of God would have looked like more signs and wonders, like more manifestations, the manifestations of God, like the crazy stuff where everybody is like face down on the floor in church or something like that. And they're encountering God. Like, that is what I would have said more presence looks like. But that would have been 18-year-old me. Now, an older version of me now looks at it and says, if I were to take my congregation through something like this and expect them to have the more presence the way I was in 18, a lot of them would feel broken. A lot of them would feel like there was something wrong with them because they weren't encountering God the same way as other people were. And so they start to play this, you know, well, they are experiencing it. So am I like broken? Is there something wrong with me? Type of deal. And it can easily become this comparison and leave somebody broken. And that's not what I wanted. I wanted to be able to teach that more of God's presence doesn't always look like more of God's presence doesn't always look like the like having a manifestation or an encounter. That sometimes an encounter with God, it can happen once, but it doesn't. It's not always there. It doesn't always happen. And I think some people were looking like that and being like, "Wow, well, this person does it and I see them encounter God, like I want to encounter God like that. And they try to make that happen and it just doesn't work and it leaves them heartbroken. And then you have this other camp where some people are not, or they're just watching other people have these encounters, or they've had an encounter. So this is one side where they've had an encounter in the past and they want to have it again. And so what they do is they try to follow the same steps, the same thing they did last time to make that encounter happen again. And so that they have now come to the conclusion that the way I do this or that will stir God's heart and he will begin to move. And I talked to my friend Baxter about this, and he said that is Baal worship, where it takes performance for you to be able to achieve this with God. That is all about your performance. And we're trying to get away from that and be like, it's not about your performance. It's about understanding and awareness of God and who God is. So, but if we don't know that, then we're stuck in this situation where we think it is based on doing this. Like, if I, to know that God's presence is with me, I have to be doing A, B, and C, and then I will know. Or you look at the life of Moses and you say, well, Moses had this encounter with God, it was powerful. And the burning bush moment, that's when God spoke to him. And so then we look at Moses and we say, oh, well, if I want to have these encounters too, like Moses, like God is going to speak to me. That's how God speaks to us, is through these big encounters, these big moments. And so then when God is speaking to us normally without having to use a burning bush, we miss it because we think, oh, it's too simple. That clearly couldn't be God. It's just too easy. Sorry, just a brief mention of my sponsor, Topo Chico. Topo Chico, when you hear this and you're like, wow, this guy talks about us a lot, then you need to start hooking me up with some Topo Chico. Okay, back to it. So when I was talking with Baxter, we're talking about performance is the thing that gets God's heart going. Like, and it's just a bad way of doing it. I talk about this experience I had when I was in Holland and these people are encountering God and they're moving in ways that I'm like, wow, they really, really love God. I can just tell they love him by how much they're putting into their worship. How great they're getting into it. And I look at that and say, wow, like that's a crazy encounter. They really love Jesus. And I felt like I was missing out on something. Like, am I not like as close to the Lord as I thought? You know, you start thinking these thoughts. Am I just not, you know, there? Am I broken? Is there a sin issue? And we begin to think like this. And I go and I talk to the lady there that is in charge of this stuff and knows me. And she's kind of like a spiritual mother. And I say, hey, like, am I baptized in by the Spirit? Like, have I had a Holy Spirit baptism? And she's like, why would you say that? And I said, well, I look at these people and, you know, I don't really feel the same way as the way that they're worshiping. And she says, oh, no, these people are worshiping out of an experience. Never chase an experience. always chased after Jesus. And that's when I had this shift and be like, it doesn't matter what that person looks like or feels like or whatever. I don't know them. I don't know their story. And so therefore, I don't know if they're actually having an encounter. And it's not my job to be the judge of it. My job is to seek Jesus. And so that's our job, is to seek Jesus. And I talk about how we have two different ways God shows up. We have our omnipresence, which means he's always there. And we have his manifest presence, which means that he appears in a way that we didn't see him before. So for Moses, you have the burning bush. All of a sudden, God shows up and he appears. You look at the life of David, he knew God was with him. He knew God was with him. He did not have an encounter with God that was this big divine moment where he was supposed to go take out Goliath. He did not have that. You know, the Bible says he took out the lion and he took out the bear, and he knew that God was with him. But it wasn't like God showed up first and said, hey, you take out the lion, I'm with you. It was, he knew God had his back because of the fact he was able to have these conquering feats. And so we need to be able to get to the faith of David, because if we're always looking for these big moments when we're entering into a battle and we did not have a burning bush moment, we didn't have a manifest presence moment, then we're going in feeling like God's not there, even though he is. The omnipresence means you're encountering him everywhere, everywhere. Your encounter with God is happening everywhere, all the time. And if we can be able to realize that and really let that sink in and take that to home, then for us, we can actually begin to encounter God more, because he is there. But when we realize he is there all the time, it's easier to be able to encounter him because we're becoming more aware of him. So my title of my message was, more awareness equals more presence. So the more we become aware of God being there, the more we begin to realize and look for him, the more we find him. You know, the song, the more I seek you, the more I find you. The more I find you, the more I love you. And so the more we begin to seek him, the more we find him, because he's not hard to find. He's everywhere. And that is going to build our faith. That is going to allow us to not need these huge moments. We're able to be right in the middle of God, right in the middle of the Trinity. We're participating in all this stuff. And if we're looking for these big burning bush moments, we're missing out on so much. So much is happening every second, every minute of your life. God is encountering you, and we need to see that. You know, and so Baxter's challenge was this next week, write down 5 ways that you encountered God in your daily life. You know, it's not like these super encounters. It can be something where you look at someone and you feel compassion for them. You look at someone and you feel joy. Those are things of God. You know, like it could be helping your neighbor out. It could be finally understanding omnipresence. It could be like reading your Bible and the passage just really spoke to you. There's tons of stuff that's happening. We're encountering God and we disqualify them because we look at some of these things like a burning bush or a pillar of fire and a talking donkey. And we want God to answer us that way when really he's talking to us all day long. So more awareness equals more presence. We have to begin to recognize where God is daily. And no, he's not hiding from you. He's not hiding from you. He's everywhere. So recognize, be aware of where he is. Where are you, God? Where are you when I'm sitting in the office? Where are you when I'm driving to work? Where are you when I'm, you know, watching TV? Where are you when I'm at the grocery store? Begin to look for him everywhere. And you'll find him everywhere. So that is my little message for you guys. Sorry if it was scattered while I was trying to get everything ready. I fly out super early and it's late. I literally, right now it's 11 o'clock, 11, 12, 1, 2. I get picked up in 3.5 hours. So I'm trying to be able to pack, get everything ready, have a little snooze, and then I'll go. So I'm going to wrap this up here. But I hope you guys have a great rest of the week. And I'll talk to you next time. All right. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Friends Along the Way. Be sure to follow, and we'll catch you on the next one. If you're enjoying this podcast and you're looking for a way to support, you can buy me a coffee. Go to buymeacoffee.com, punch in my name, Jesse Walker, and there you'll find Friends Along the Way. And you can just buy me a coffee. It's that simple. I appreciate all your support and all of your listening ears. Talk to you soon.